Andre, can you hear me? Can you hear me?
This is the Greg Cody Show with Greg Cody.
Pardon it.
Here's your host, Greg Cody.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Greg Cody Show with Greg Cody podcast. We're in a celebratory mood right now. I am giddy. I am so happy. We are celebrating an anniversary, ladies and gentlemen. This is our 10th podcast, podcast number 10. I celebrate 10 pods. Come on. I am in a happy mood.
Is this a big landmark episode? Is 10 like a big thing to celebrate?
Are you insane? Of course it is. This is the biggest. Okay. 20 doesn't mean anything. I don't know how I'll sound 10 pods from now, but 20 means nothing. You know, one was important, but this is our biggest episode since the inaugural number one. 10, man. You only turned 10 once.
Are you actually dancing right now? Are we having a party? Is that what this is?
There's like a parade outside my house right now. This is unbelievable.
Whoa.
I think there's a brass band. I mean.
Did I just hear someone buttering toast during your celebration?
I thought I heard that.
Wow, this is kind of like, I'm actually getting into this. This is the little music going on here.
I mean, right? You know, it's the pandemic and we're social distancing, but people must be outside the studio right now partying because, you know, hearing that it was our 10th, because there's just all sorts of ancillary noise going on.
Can we just do this the whole time? Let's just celebrate the whole time. We're partying.
Yeah, I'm dancing in my chair right now, quite frankly. This is unbelievable.
Cody Column. Go to sleep.
All right. Is that the Cody Column commercial I hear? Whoa, this is what's going on here. Let's go. All right.
The more you know.
I thought I just heard Juju Gotti. I mean, this is insane what's going on right now.
Salt and vinegar, almonds, and cheese whisk.
Whoa, Blake James, athletic director from Miami's here.
Wow.
Why is someone breaking glass? That sounds dangerous. Like, let's not injure anybody.
I got to calm myself down here. I'm on cloud 9 for this 10th podcast, but cloud 10 is where I'm at right now. But
look at us, 10 episodes
wow.
in.
I mean, this is a milestone. It really is. We have a big show today. You know who we have today? I think this is the only man in the world who meets the following description. Hit 438 career home runs to qualify for the Baseball Hall of Fame in Cooperstown, New York, and presently operates a Miami area funeral home in the middle of a pandemic. Who else on earth can make those two statements? Nobody, except our guest today, Andre Dawson, the Hawk.
That is a really interesting story. Now, I work on the Levitard Show, as you know, and we had him on last week. And I got to take a little bit of a victory lap because I made the joke that while it's a very interesting story, he doesn't exactly lead the league in energy. So are you going to be able to bring a good interview out of Andre Dawson?
Yes, we're gonna out-interview the Levitard Show, quite frankly. I'm gonna shrink Dan down to size by actually bringing some personality out of Andre the Hawk Dawson. And also there's another installment of Greg Doesn't Know Movies, in which Christopher and my other son, Michael, sort of gang up on me and try to stump me on what they think are basic movie questions, most of which I have no idea about.
It's called Greg Doesn't Watch Movies, for the love of God. Doesn't know movies.
Oh, whatever. It's one of those things. But before we get to all that nonsense and fun and serious stuff, let's talk a little bit about sports, believe it or not, because everybody always asks me, what do you do? What are you writing about now? What are you talking about? There's no sports. There's so much stuff to talk about. I'm fascinated by the idea that sports continues to just weave its way through a dark room, not knowing what the next step's going to bring, how to figure all this stuff out. You know, the NFL is like, hey, business as usual. We're going to start. We're king sport. We're going to start on time. And the cautious NBA, which was the first major league to postpone its season, is sort of rationally saying, you know what? Not only might we not play this summer, but we're going to have to think seriously about delaying the start of our next season. So there's different directions here. You wonder how it's all going to shake out. NASCAR is returning to racing later this month, but albeit with no fans. So we're all just feeling our way. It's a total crapshoot. Nobody knows what's going on. And that's part of what's fascinating about it is just the not knowing. Meanwhile, sports does go on. This week you had Andy Dalton signing a one-year deal with the Cowboys just after Jameis Winston signed a one-year deal with the Saints.
Man, I cannot believe that neither of those guys ended up with the Patriots.
I know, like, but you know who's still out there? I mean, Cam Newton.
I don't think the Patriots have enough money to sign him. This is so weird. Do the Patriots just believe in this Stidham guy? Or are they tanking for Lawrence? Maybe that's what they're doing. Are the Patriots going to tank this season?
Are they capable of tanking? Is Bill Belichick capable of intentionally not being a GOAT? I don't know.
Him bringing in Andy Dalton, a quarterback that has been mainly mocked through his career, just felt like the right recipe. A guy that probably is a starter in this league, but that people have mocked and that it would make Belichick look good if he did win with them. I thought Dalton had Patriots written all over it.
Yeah, I could have seen anybody going to the Patriots because I think Belichick is so confident in his system that he's going to elevate Dalton. In his mind, I think Belichick is going to elevate Dalton. He's going to calm down Jameis Winston. He's going to reinvent Cam Newton. I mean, I think he thinks he can do whatever he wants with any quarterback. He had his choice. You know, anybody wants to go to New England. It's amazing, though, that Cam Newton is the guy still floating out there.
Ah, sports. What else you got?
You know, down here in Miami, the Miami Heat puts out a video in which El Presidente Pat Riley is inspiring the downtrodden masses with morsels of hope. King Pat says he thinks the Heat are close, quote unquote, close to building a champion. And then, of course, the Heat thorn, Paul Pierce, immediately scoffs, notes that, you know, Miami lacks the one elite transformational player, I should say. Look, Miami right now is not the two LAs. They're not Milwaukee. I get what Pierce is saying, but when you have a starting point of Jimmy Butler and Bam Adebayo, and you can add in young guys like Kendrick Nunn and Tyler Hero, you give them – they have some pieces to attract the whale free agent next summer.
Paul Pierce sounds like a dum-dum, okay? There's no, like, I get what he's saying. The Heat are clearly a top 10 team this season. Okay, by definition there, you're relatively close. Just get out of here with this. He's just a hater. This is sour grapes. The Heat were Paul Pierce's daddy, and now he's bitter because of how much of a daddy the Heat were to him. Get over it, Paul Pierce. Whether the Heat are in the conversation, whether they're like everybody else, is irrelevant. The moral of the story is that he's sour grapes, we're his daddy, and he hates us. And that's it. And we win.
Right.
Again.
I couldn't agree more, but I also want to point out that this is so a pandemic beef. This is such a
peef.
It is. It's a pandemic beef, a peef, because, you know, we don't have actual game. We should be in the second round of the NBA playoffs right now. The Heat just won their first round playoff series. They're now getting ready to play Milwaukee in the second round. Let's talk about, you know, how Bam Adebayo tends to neutralize the Greek freak and how Miami actually has a chance for an upset here. But instead, we don't have the chance to talk about that kind of thing. So we have to make up Paul Pierce beefing against something Riley said on a video. It's just sort of ridiculous.
So we have to eat some Paul Pierce beef. Now I'm imagining painting a picture of Paul Pierce as a cooking up a beef. It doesn't have any salt in it. It's old. It's outdated. It's a little overweight. And now I'm just taking shots at him. I don't know what I'm doing now. I'm going off the rails. Paul Pierce, get over yourself. Done with you.
Exactly. And well, that's the last word on Paul Pierce. I wanted to veer quickly to a rabbit hole discussion in these stay at home times. I don't know what you're rabbit holing about now, but I just discovered Schitt's Creek, the Canadian sitcom starring Eugene Levy and his family, basically.
Are you allowed to say that title, or am I going to have to bleep that?
No, you don't have to bleep that. It's Schitt, which I think is a German surname, but at any rate, the name of the thing is Schitt's Creek. I'm not going to say that too much because I don't want to make my bosses nervous, but I think we can say that. But I find it just a hilariously well-written, and my wife and I have been just binge-watching that sucker. We've gone from season one, episode one. I think now we're in the fifth season. So that's been my rabbit hole these past couple of weeks. What are you into lately?
Betting horses. I started off a little rough. My wife is looking at me right now from across the room. I have had a little comeback the last like week or so. I've recouped some of the stuff I invested early on in this experiment, but I'm treading water. I'm not making money. I'm not losing a bunch of money, but it's taking up my time and I'm really enjoying it.
Yeah. In fact, I will tell the people that you and I were on Zoom together. When was it? Saturday night.
Yeah.
Watching with a few other people watching the Arkansas Derby, because if you were listening to the podcast last week, you heard Clark Spencer, the former Herald sports writer, talking about his horse, Gouverneur Morris, who ran in the Kentucky Derby, finished third.
Not the Kentucky Derby.
Or the Arkansas Derby.
Yeah.
Came on strong, finished third. And Gouverneur Morris, Clark Spencer's horse, now is on pace to qualify for the Kentucky Derby. Can you imagine that? What a great story. A friend of ours buys a small piece of a racehorse, turns out to be a great catch, and the horse is now headed, hopefully, to Churchill Downs.
Now, since the Greg Cody Show has been on the Gouverneur Morris beat, you know, no one else in the podcast world is covering Gouverneur Morris like the Greg Cody Show.
Right. No, we are the official podcast of Gouverneur Morris.
Do you think that we could get Clark to maybe for like this stretch run through the Kentucky Derby, get maybe rename the horse the Greg Cody Show with Greg Cody? Greg Cody Show with Greg Cody coming around alongside. I don't know why I've turned into an auctioneer. Horse racing is announced. But
you were an auctioneer there calling a horse race. But I don't know if we can do that. I do think the Greg Cody Show with Greg Cody is easier to pronounce than Gouverneur Morris.
Greg Cody Show with Greg Cody coming in second place at the Kentucky Derby. The Greg Cody Show with Greg Cody. Check it out Mondays at 7 a.m.
You know what? I'm going to check that out. I'm going to look into that. But for now, we just have to be satisfied with being the official podcast of Gouverneur Morris. But let's all get behind this beautiful gray colt.
But that is exciting. This little engine that joined the Greg Cody Show could end up in the Kentucky Derby.
Yes. And so reel back to episode 9 and listen to Clark talk about how he got into horse racing and Gouverneur Morris and everything. And
this is totally inside horse racing and nobody that is listening right now has any idea what I'm talking about. But that one horse, Charlatan, that beat Gouverneur Morris in this Arkansas Derby this past Saturday.
Yeah.
That horse is going to be a Kentucky Derby contender. You heard it here first, folks. We are breaking down the Kentucky Derby, which is taking place in, I believe, November. We're breaking it down in May. And I am telling you, Charlatan, look out for Charlatan as a big favorite in that Kentucky Derby.
Yeah, that horse was running like a jackrabbit, wasn't it? It was unbelievable.
Well, it was running like a horse.
Yeah, that's true. But it would be funny if a horse ran like a jackrabbit. That would be interesting, like a kangaroo race, really. But we ought to get onto the podcast, shall we?
Well, let's do it.
Now we're on to Greg doesn't know movies or watch movies.
Christ I never Almighty, remember. It's watch movies.
Okay, Greg doesn't watch movies. This is an occasional feature we do on the podcast. I think this is the third time in 10 pods that we've done it, and it has been met with great reaction. You guys seem to love this. I make no bones about the fact that I don't go to movies. I don't know movies very much. And so my two sons try to stump me with simple movie questions. They're not simple to me, but I do. I nail some of them. I miss some of them, but it's usually pretty fun. So let's see if we can generate a little of that mirth right now, shall we?
All right, let's do it. We are back. So excited to be here for this giant 10th episode of the Greg Cody Podcast. Greg, you ready?
I'm ready.
I'm ready, Freddy. All right, here we go. First up, who played the titular character in the movie The 40-Year-Old Virgin?
What the hell does titular mean?
I know what it means. Don't worry, it's not a bad word.
Can we just say that? I mean, I can tell by the context clues what it means, but what a pretentious word. Can't we just say the main character?
People say titular.
Okay. Right? It is fitting for the type of movie it is. Who is the titular character of the 40-Year-Old Virgin?
Right. Yeah. All right. I know the answer. I'm just trying to think of his name. I mean,
that's
he's the guy from The Office, the boss.
Is he? Are you sure?
Yeah. What's his name in The Office? Mr. Scott or something?
We're not saying nothing.
I'm picturing him. I saw The 40-Year-Old Virgin. I love the movie.
You don't know his name.
Oh, God. Kevin Scott?
I'll tell you what his name. His name in the office is Michael Scott.
Michael Scott. That's it.
That's his actor. That's the character name in the office.
Okay, but you know that I know who it is.
Yeah, but if you don't get his name, you get it wrong.
You're only close to the office name. You're not close at all.
All right, it's Steve Carell. You lose.
Oh yeah, of course I know it's Steve Carell. But I said Michael Scott, so that's a half point.
That's not a half point.
That's half credit. All right, I'm surprised
you could actually say Michael Scott, to be honest.
Thank you.
All right. Next one. Here we go. Name two Martin Scorsese movies.
famous director. Born on the 4th of July?
That's...
No.
Rattle off a couple for him.
All right, you got The Irishman, The Departed. I was actually thinking if we were going to lose, you were going to say some old school ones like Raging Bull or Taxi Driver.
Oh, man. Taxi. Like, I knew he directed Taxi Driver.
I mean, Gangs
that
in
one
New
I
York.
Knew.
Gangs in New York. You know, he's done like several Leo DiCaprio movies.
Oh, for you had me a Taxi Driver. That's a great song by Steel Pulse, by the way. Taxi Driver.
Won't stop for me.
Dad, so when your wife got you to watch The Irishman, if I asked you who directs this, would you have been like, I don't know, Martin McGillicuddy? Like,
no, I would not have said Scorsese. I didn't know he directed that movie.
I know.
Tough with you know, you got all stars in that movie. It directs itself. Right? I mean, come on. It's like managing an all-star baseball team. How much work you really got to do?
All right, moving on.
This next one, it's a little bit in this similar range, but the only reason we would ever ask you these types of things is because of how famous these guys are.
Where are you broadcasting from today? The moon?
Wait, why?
Because your voice is terrible. I could barely – you were breaking up in that last question.
Sounds like you're in a submarine.
Well, part of
are you in a submarine, son?
No, part of – you saw right. I was in the car.
All right, Michael's broadcasting from a submarine. All right, let's continue.
Here we go. Next one. Name two Quentin Tarantino movies.
Oh, my God. Well, one of them is a no-brainer. It's one of my all-time favorite movies, Pulp Fiction.
That's why we made you name two, because we knew you'd get that one.
Okay. Now it gets tough. Oh, my God.
I love it that he says one. It like a guy who knows things, and then right after one, all right, now it gets tough.
Give me a hint.
No.
Pulp Fiction 2? Was there a sequel?
The Quentin Tarantino story.
Was there a sequel? If so, I nailed the sequel.
No.
All right, next question. What movie has the famous line, "You can't handle the truth"?
Oh, gosh. Jack Nicholson said it.
Oh, God.
Now I just got to come up with a movie.
I mean, you know, you do get like...
You can't handle the truth. No, I can't come up with it. I mean, I know it's Nicholson. That's half a credit for me.
This is such a good batch this week because we have you, like, you know these answers, but you don't.
Right. In this case, I just can't come up with the name of the movie. You're going to say it and I'll go, oh, yeah.
It's A Few Good Men.
Okay. The Army Man, like I said.
All right. Let's go to the next one.
Will Greg get one right today?
I've gotten half credit on several of them.
No.
On several of them, yeah. Because that's what we're doing. Anyway, here we go. What movie has the famous line, "You had me at hello"?
Sleepless in Seattle.
No. I just had you. Oh, my God.
I thought sure I was right on that. Damn. That's the first one where I would have bet big that I was right on that.
Then you would have lost.
So what is the other one that I missed?
Wait. Let me try this. Here's another very memorable line from the movie we're talking about right now, where he said, "You had me at hello." Right. Here's some. Okay. You ready for another line?
Yeah.
Show me the money.
That's the one about the agent, sports agent.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, just gosh. No answers. You have no answers in you.
I'm thinking.
I'm thinking. Not much happening.
I don't know.
Tom Cruise. He's like, is that it?
Whatever. It's not the
Tom Cruise agent story.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
It's
it's Jerry Maguire.
Oh, God. Okay. Yeah. I should have gotten that one.
Yeah. You don't know these things.
All right.
Moving on.
The next question. Name one actor in the movie Superbad.
Oh, God.
This might be your best performance so far.
Yeah, who's, man. You don't know anything, Dad.
Who's that youngish Heavy actor.
Yep. Once again, you have it, but you don't.
I love that he says, "Who's that youngish?"
Yeah, and I never thought much of him, quite frankly. I don't know why he became that popular. Got a very generic name as well. No wonder I can't remember it.
He doesn't really. What do you mean?
You know, I know the movie.
I don't know which one you're talking about.
I think there's a scene in the movie involving a staircase.
What? I feel like you could either be thinking of two guys right now, the guy that wrote this movie or the guy that starred in the movie.
Yeah, but
give me the two names and I'll tell you.
Their names aren't that generic.
No, they're both in it because the guy that wrote it did act in it. So either of these could be right.
All right, I'll tell you the name I was thinking of. Give me the names.
Seth Rogen.
And?
Jonah Hill.
Neither.
Oh, I think I was picturing Jonah Hill, but thinking of the name Seth Rogen. Seriously. What is that? That's how close I was.
That generic Seth Rogen. All right, here we go. Name one teammate that Michael Jordan had in the movie Space Jam.
Boy, I never saw that. That was a cartoon, right?
It was like half cartoon, half regular
movie. I'm going to say Dennis Rodman.
Are you? What? You say a real teammate? Like,
I thought he was in it.
Did you know that he teamed up with the Looney Tunes?
Oh, yeah. Movie? Give me another guess. Yosemite Sam.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, he was probably in it. You also could have said Bill Murray.
Is Yosemite Sam the silly rabbit guy?
Yosemite Sam is the big, long, ginger mustache.
I don't know if that guy was in it. He might have been. I can't believe that's the Looney Tune you name.
Yeah, I loved Yosemite Sam.
I know. Most would say he's Bugs Bunny.
All right, so that's a credit. I get 1 point.
No, you're definitely wrong. We had to tell you it was Looney Tunes.
All right, have I gotten one right yet?
No, you're really bad.
Lord.
All right, next question. Name the famous poker movie starring Matt Damon and Edward Norton. We might as well just go to the next one.
Famous poker movie.
I didn't know there was a famous poker movie.
Honestly, this is probably the hardest one of today's batch, but everyone knows. Like, while it's one of the hardest ones we've asked you today, it's still so easy.
Exactly.
I mean,
there's no chance you would get this. Dad, I can't believe you didn't know this. The movie is Rounders.
Oh, God.
What a bad name for a poker movie. It should have been Shove It to the Middle or All In or something.
Dad, between the two actors, Matt Damon and Edward Norton, name one movie.
Well, first of all, Edward Norton stole the name of Ed Norton from The Honeymooners. So I've never respected his work.
Could there be any more of a Greg Cody response to the question I asked than what he just said?
Can you name an Edward Norton or Matt Damon movie?
Yes.
Go ahead.
Okay, Matt Damon starred in that romantic comedy set around Red Sox in Fenway Park. But I can't think of the name of it.
God. No, he didn't.
Damon would be offended by that.
I can't think of it. What was the name of that movie?
Fever Pitch.
Fever Pitch. And that was,
okay, that's
it, was also Jimmy Fallon.
It starred Jimmy Fallon. It starred Jimmy Fallon, not Matt Damon.
It did? Jimmy Fallon starred in the movie?
Wow, you are doing really bad today. All right, moving on.
Well, the questions are too hard.
All right, here we go. Last question. Which of these three names is an actual real-life actor? Charlie Morton, Chet Stedman, Sam Rockwell.
I know that answer.
What?
I couldn't name a single movie he's ever been in or picture his face, but the correct answer is Sam Rockwell.
It was too accurate. You realize what just happened right there. We had a no-hitter going. It was the bottom of the ninth, two outs, two strikes, and you nubbed one over the second baseman's head.
I did.
You just hit a little BS blooper over the second baseman's head.
And even at that, I was almost thrown out at first.
But that we love, though, the routes of those questions, because you only got that because of how much that you think that that's an actor, Sam Rockwell. But do you know who the other two men are?
I assume they were made-up names.
Charlie Morton.
Charlie Morton, the last 2 years, has been a top five Cy Young pitcher in the major leagues.
Okay, never heard of him.
I know that. That's why he was
there. What's the other guy? Jeff Stedman?
You broke up there. It's Chet Stedman. Do you have any clue who that is?
No, God, no.
Chet Stedman is a character in the movie Rookie of the Year.
Have you seen you Rookie? Said Stedman. I thought you said Deadman.
Have you seen?
Like Dead Man's Curve by Jane and Dean.
Oh, so you know it now that it's Chet Stedman?
No, but it, I thought you said Deadman.
Greg, have you seen Rookie of the Year?
Deadman Tell No Tales. What? No, I have not seen Rookie of the Year.
Let's end on that note. That's how we do this. Greg breaks up a no-hitter in the ninth inning with an answer that he actually didn't even really know, but he just kind of knew.
Victory is mine!
He was both great and awful today, folks.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Okay. All right. That was fun, as always. Really enjoy jousting with my two sons over my relative lack of cinematic knowledge.
It will never not amaze me how some of the most common knowledge. So you don't even have to see a lot of these movies. We're asking you such obvious questions of just like who starred in this movie. You don't have to see that movie to know who starred in it. Your lack of pop culture and just keeping up with it is astounding. Your movie knowledge is deceased.
Okay.
That's a segue.
That's a good segue because right now we're talking with a man who's in the business of death, a man who is a beloved ex-Chicago Cub, ended his career with the Florida Marlins, of course, the then Florida Marlins. And he went on to a career in the funeral business, Andre Dawson did.
Not only did we have a fun conversation with Andre Dawson, but we had a fun time trying to get him onto Zoom. I was ready to strangle myself trying to get Greg Cody and Andre Dawson on a Zoom together.
Okay, so he's all of a sudden just going to magically appear on the screen?
No, I mean, I'm going to let you know when he's trying to get in. I just sent him the emails. So
okay.
You could text him if you want that the email has been sent. If not, you don't have to.
I will just to double the chances that we start this promptly. We just emailed you the Zoom link, period. Ready when you are, period. Hey, that kind of thing. Boy, we got a problem with your email. Andre Dawson just texted me back saying it hasn't come through yet.
I think it's more AOL.com's problem than mine, honestly. The only two men still in America with AOL. Only three men, Andre Dawson, Greg Cody, and Dan Lebatard.
Okay, now how do I text him this Zoom link? I have no idea how to do that.
Go to the message that I sent you in your Twitter.
Okay,
message.
You can't do it?
Dad, my email's obviously not working. This
okay,
is
what easy. Do I do? Talk me through it.
Go to the message. You know how to highlight something? Go over the link.
What message?
Go to your Twitter messages with me. You see the link?
I'm getting there. Hang on.
Right click on the link.
I'm not there yet. Give me a minute. Christ. Okay, I see your message. Now what do I do?
Now right-click on the link. Right-click on the link.
On the Zoom link?
Yes.
Okay.
You see copy?
Copy link address?
Yes.
Yeah.
Now go to an email, compose an email to Andre Dawson, and then click paste.
Just tried emailing you the link again, period. Beginning to think it could be an AOL.com issue, period.
I just texted it to him.
We also just texted you the link as well, period. You know that Andre Dawson and I are like exactly the same age? He's like 2 months older than me. I'm September and he's July.
This is such a debacle. We should just post this 10 minutes of like trying to get him on.
All right. He just says, my phone keeps flashing Zoom name invalid.
That means he hasn't created a Zoom account.
He says he did.
Christ almighty.
You created a Zoom account, right? Question mark. Keep in mind, he's a guy my age who literally had never heard of Zoom until I mentioned it to him last night. When I said you created a Zoom account, right? He said yes.
I don't know what to tell you.
Just humor me and try sending him the link one more time.
Oh, here he is. Here he is.
He's trying to get in.
Hey, connecting the audio. Good sign. Andre, can you hear me? Can you hear me? I can see. I don't know if you can hear me. I can see you.
There should be a button at the bottom left to unmute yourself.
Yeah, Andre, there should be a button at the bottom left that looks like a little microphone to unmute yourself.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, all right.
Okay.
We did it. Believe me, Andre, I had never heard of Zoom until about a month ago. So I'm right with you on learning all this stuff.
I didn't hear about it until last night.
Well, we're almost exactly the same age, so we're just a couple of dinosaurs trying to hack our way through technology here. We're honored to be speaking with Andre Dawson, the great Hall of Fame baseball player, 438 career home runs, 8-time All-Star, 1987 NL Most Valuable Player, Cooperstown's Finest. Andre, I wanted to talk about the strangeness of the contrast in your two lives. You became famous playing in front of cheering crowds in your latter career. You're in the business of grief and death. You're trying to console people who have just lost a loved one. Can you talk about that strange contrast in what you used to do and what you do now?
Well, that's by far the complete opposite of what I'm used to. But I think in some form or fashion, baseball kind of prepared me for where I am in life today. Being humble, learning how to adjust to individuals, that is, the makeup, the teammates, and trying to grasp being a leader in the process. It was a bit morbid initially, but, you know, I've grown to know and understand that it's something that it's immeasurable what you can do and you bring to these families at a point in time when, you know, it's most critical for them.
Andre, you're born and raised Miami. You're well known down here. In the conduct of your current business, do any grieving families sort of look at you funny and go, are you the Hawk?
You know, Greg, I had one instance that really jumps out at me. I was actually over near the ballpark. I went out assisting on a removal, and I was greeted at the front door by a young gentleman who he kind of paused. You could tell that he had been shedding tears in a sense. And he paused and he looked at me and he didn't say anything. And then he stared and out of nowhere he said, "A Hawk." And I said, "Yes." He said, "Wow." He said, "Wait right here." And he started smiling. And he said, "Wait right here." And sure enough, about a minute later, he reappeared with a family album in which he removed the photo and he had a picture of me that I took with him at what was Pro Player Stadium at the time.
Oh, wow.
And he was about 12 years old. And he said, "This is a picture that I took with you before a game that the Marlins was playing." I said, "Wow, so you still recognize me," even though this was probably about 30 years later. And he said, "Yes." And he said, "Thank you." He said, "I can't thank you enough." And I said, "Well, don't thank me. I'm just, you know, here to do my job. And whatever other necessary means I could be of help to you, just let me know."
That's a sweet memory. Andre, I wanted to also speak to you about, you're not only in the business of death, so to speak, as a funeral home operator, but you're in that business at the time of COVID-19, when a pandemic is killing people all over the world, including in our community. Can you talk about what that coronavirus plague has meant to your business?
Well, Greg, I tell you, it's been a game changer because you got to adhere to the ordinance and all of the procedures and standards that are changing daily. For me, the most critical thing is the safety of individuals, and that, you know, includes my staff and all of the mourners who may come into a service. So we do practice social distancing. We try to adhere to the fact that there's only 10 people that can come in at a time during a viewing, which may require a family viewing initially, and then the public. You know, then we got to take special precaution when we're dealing with the COVID cases, because the parameters are a lot different.
Andre, I'm going to let you go in after just a couple more quick questions. And it's very well known that you and others were let go unceremoniously by the new regime of the Marlins when they came in, and that there were some bitter feelings over that, and understandably so. And I wonder, the Hall of Fame weekend has been canceled for this year. Had it gone on in July, would you have attended the ceremony honoring Derek Jeter, or would you have purposely avoided it based over feelings that are still a little bit raw?
Well, you know, I had time to think about it. Initially, I said that I didn't want to return to Cooperstown this year because there wasn't any bitterness. I understand, fully understand, let me say that management do what they do for their reasons. It's their money, their ball club, and they a lot of times go a different direction. My stance all along was it probably could have been handled a little bit better, a little bit more from a professional standpoint. That's kind of what I really initially had a problem with. And in making my decision, I just felt that I didn't want to be in Cooperstown and be around that particular type of crowd in the same hotel. That's the Marlin Continued, I'm talking of. For a three-day weekend, I knew it probably would have been just uncomfortable and passing for them as it would for me. Again, initially, I had no qualms about being let go or not being rehired. It was just the whole concept of how they're going to go about it. You know, what the economics involved was particularly. And for me, it was ultimately like a slap in the face. It was an insult. It could have been easier handled by just saying, look, we're going a different direction. You know, this is the decision that we've made.
Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts on baseball without fans?
I don't really like it. I understand the whole concept of getting a game reared up and going again. But for me, it would be like playing a B game on the backfield during spring training. And it's very emotion-driven, the game, that is. You play the game for the fans. And you got to understand, do you want to get a haircut or do you want to go bald-headed? That's the difference in the decision that you have to make.
Right.
But you got to start somewhere. It's not going to be a perfect season. It's not going to be a good season, regardless of how we get it off the ground and how we get started again.
Andre, with that, we'll let you go. You've done baseball and done Miami proud for a long time, and I thank you for joining us on the podcast.
Okay, Greg, thank you, and thank you for helping me figure this thing out.
Stay well, and now click the red button that says leave meeting.
Okay, take care.
All right, be well.
All right, you too.
Hey, thanks, Andre Dawson. Appreciate that. Good stuff from you. It's not often you get to talk to a guy who owns a funeral home in the middle of a pandemic and who also happens to be a Hall of Famer. What a weird story. Hey, we want to thank everybody, podcast family, for joining us on The Greg Cody Show again this week. This was episode 10. It's our anniversary episode. We had a lot of fun celebrating that. Made some noise early. Hey, get out of here, goat. The party's over. We're turning to podcast episode 11 right now, and I know you all will be back here to join us next week. Meantime, thanks so much for riding along with us, and we'll see you all next week.
Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.